Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Soda Pod is proudly presented by 7th Avenue Pizza. 7th Ave Pizza produces the highest quality, best tasting frozen pizza available in the market today. If delicious toppings are what you crave, look no further. Try the meat sauce pizza today because it wails, folks. Follow them at 7th Avenue Pizza to stay current on where you can grab yours today. Get you some 7th Avenue Pizza today. Now let's get right to the show.
And welcome back to another season recap here on MNCAA. Your host, Nick Max, and you're joining you. Also joining me this afternoon is Gophers aficionado Drew Cove. Drew, how you doing? Thanks for jumping on in here in the middle of May. Not hockey season.
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm doing good. Doing pretty good, Nick. Just some Stanley Cup playoffs in the background. And you know what? It's that time of year. So, and the best time is when there's I guess series like Battle of Alberta and the Battle for Florida. So
yes.
Always a good time of year.
Battle of Alberta, always fun, especially in the playoffs. The second ever meeting only of the Battle of Florida and the first one last year.
Yeah, so it's disappointing, amazing. That last one. It just seemed a little lopsided, but let's hope this one, obviously game one in, let's knock on wood that it goes to seven.
Right. I picked Florida to go all the way to the Cup final, but it's hard to really top Tampa right now. That team's a wagon. They just seem to find a way, right? Mm-hmm. Which transitions nicely, actually, a team that sort of found its way towards the end of the year, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We'll obviously touch on a little bit more of the reasons why as we go further into the contest. But we're here to do a little bit of a recap of the Gophers, which had an up and down season, to say the least, but really turned it on when it mattered. So, Drew, let's start by sort of the preseason expectations for this Gopher squad. I don't really know if there was a whole lot. I think there was anticipation that this team could take a step. But can you recap for us about where was the attitude amongst the fan base going into the season with the team and how they were moving things forward, especially after a regional final appearance the year prior?
Yeah, I think the expectations were, I think they were somewhat high. I think for a fan base that's been clamoring, obviously, for the team to be good and saying, okay, play good teams, play the rivals, and we'll come back and we'll be the fan base that they were when the North Stars left. Basically, that's kind of peak, I think, of Gopher fan, and that's 7 years without NHL hockey, because what else did everyone have to watch? So
right.
I think it's always the struggle to say, oh yeah, man, I wish it was mid-90s again as a Gopher hockey fan. But it definitely improved. And obviously I think the lowest of lows was, the beginning of the Big Ten and the middle of the Big Ten, when the Gophers kind of fell off from winning the first four Big Ten titles, regular season titles, that is. And they kind of trailed off a little bit, and then it ended at kind of ending the Don Lucia era and beginning the Bob Motzko era. So I think fans had a little high expectations because so much of the team was coming back this year. You had the goaltender of the year, obviously, coming back in Jack LaFontaine.
I would say Dryden McKay has entered the chat, but
yeah, I know. I feel like we gotta obligatory bring up that award and how that turned out a year ago. But hey, you know what? He's got the Hobie. I don't think a lot of people can come after it anymore. So
no,
but yeah, so. But I think the Gophers had some pretty high expectations with the team coming back, kind of falling a little flat in the game against Mankato that they really wanted to have back. And they said, okay, let's just, it's in-state rival. It's perfect. This is what we want. This is what we want to see. We want to be back there. So Gopher fans, I think, had some pretty high expectations coming in, especially as the schedule laid out against a lot of those familiar teams that this fan base really wants to be seeing a lot. They were anticipatory of the way that the season was going to start. And I guess we'll get into it and as to how that turned out.
Yeah.
But, I mean, expectations were moderately to somewhat high after definitely a drought in NCAA tournament appearances and kind of conference dominance when Penn State took over there for a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, it was a resurgence the year prior, right? And then the non-conference schedule. I think this was the most excited Gophers fans had been in some time for non-conference schedules. You could almost make the argument a lot of the Minnesota schools were happy with the non-conference schedules. A lot of the interstate rivals that had been broken up with the dismantling of the WCHA conference in 2013. So you had the likes, let's say Alaska, St. Cloud. You had Duluth on the schedule. You could say Wisconsin's in there, but how about that? North Dakota, finally, that's been a travesty.
Yeah.
And it actually started off a little bit kind of crazy. First ever series against Alaska never happened. It was postponed. Again, this was at a time where COVID was still a thing, and I should say a major thing. So there still was question marks as to whether a regular season schedule could be executed. But non-conference wise, Drew, this team, I think, delivered when they needed to kind of set the bar, even though it wasn't a rout by any means. But I think there were some positive signs early with their non-conference schedule.
Yeah, and I think the barometer for fans, and honestly, I think the team and the coaches alike, they're going to say, okay, if we want to be competitive this season, we wanted to really make some kind of difference at the national level. They say, well, we got to see how competitive we are against St. Cloud and Minnesota Duluth, two of the top class programs in the country. And I don't think that's just a regional and Minnesota kind of inflation of that that capability. I think they've obviously, I mean, everyone knows what Duluth's done in the last 5 years in terms of
average
making national champions. Yeah, they've been all right.
Yeah.
And St. Cloud's been number one at different periods, and they've obviously struggled in tournament time. But, I mean, the Gophers have had those same struggles too. But and I'm sure a lot of those teams say when the Gophers are good, I'm sure next year Minnesota will be a barometer for some of those teams and just to see how good they are. And because they're going to come back deep again. But I think it really showed that the Gophers were ready to go when they were able to really hold their own against St. Cloud and Duluth. Obviously, I think they both went splits, if I'm remembering correctly. But that's kind of what you want against, what you expect to see when you're playing a really good team. And like the adage in college hockey, you know, it's really tough to get a sweep every weekend. And I know we'll get into it and how easy kind of that got a little bit for the Gophers near the end, but it's tough to do against those teams, especially when you don't know what kind of team you are. You have so little practice time together to start the season. The way the NCAA works is to kind of making that a little difficult for teams to kind of get cohesive early. So it's on these games to really for teams to find their identity. And I think the Gophers really set that expectation, set that identity against those in-state rivals.
And then we get out of the non-conference schedule here, Drew. And then it was, I think the theme you could put this first half was inconsistent, I think is the best way to phrase it, right? Mm-hmm. Is basically split after split after split. Now, you get swept by Duluth. You go over to Notre Dame, over to Mariucci and welcome in Notre Dame. And you pick up a sweep to kind of redeem yourself. Then it's a win-loss against Wisconsin, win-loss against Ohio State, win-loss against Penn State. I think that kind of drove home the bus, win-loss North Dakota, win-loss Michigan. And that takes us through basically to the end of the first half. And, you know, when we talked throughout the season of this squad, it was, you know, there are positive signs in the wins, there's positive signs in the losses, but there was never a collaborative full 60-minute effort. What did you see, especially during the first half, where it just seemed like they couldn't just string a couple of wins together, even though at times, even during the losses, they looked good. And some of those losses, though, they let some get away too.
Yeah. I mean, I think you were right in saying it's inconsistent, but I think they were for so long, they were so consistently inconsistent in terms of the Gophers team that showed up in the second half showed up on one night, and then a team that forgot that, like, who they were really played on those other nights. And I mean, they lost some pretty tough games. They lost games to teams they really should not have lost to. I mean, near the end of the season, it was, when you're watching pairwise standings, that loss to Alaska really kills them. I mean, the Gophers in any state of their, of the program, even at their lowest, losing to Alaska, I mean, that should happen one out of every 10 times. Maybe this was the one time, but when they're this good, and when they had this much talent and this much experience back on the roster, that loss really could have killed them. And I think it likely did cost them a number one overall, out of the tournament seeding.
Also, Michigan not having to play Western Michigan, but I digress.
Yeah, exactly. You look at how just inconsistent that was, and obviously turned it on a little bit after that. But that might have, maybe that was a wake up call for them to say, okay, we can't. Do we really want to waste our time the rest of the season if we just are going to lose a type of game to Alaska? And obviously, it's not trying to just be down on Alaska, all that. But I mean, Minnesota has a distinct recruiting advantage and talent advantage over Alaska. Mm-hmm. Their team should be better. Like I said, 9 times out of 10. Realistically, it should be better 10 times out of 10. So, but it's hockey, so things happen. But it was so distinctly different in a 100 full 120 minutes of a weekend, that 60 would be one team, 60 would be the other, and it was just you never knew, and for a while we didn't know if the good team was going to come out for a whole weekend.
Yeah, and I think, Drew, the biggest thing, and you mentioned Alaska, but we're forgetting the exhibition against St. Thomas, where St. Thomas really put up a fight against the Gophers. And I think this is where a lot of the more, Ari concerns come through, right? And again, national under 18, again, exhibition, I don't put too much stock in that. You beat up Michigan State, you split against Alaska, you split against Michigan, you split against Notre Dame. And at this point, if I remember correctly, Drew, this was a time where the Gophers were, I think, either 10th or 11th in the pairwise. And you just got the sense that when is this team going to click? And if they don't, if some other teams start putting some wins together, the Gophers could be in, trouble territory, for lack of a better phrase. And you kind of wonder what clicked, right? So what did happen? What's this recap real quick so I can set you up a little bit better? After you split against Notre Dame at their barn, a sweep against Michigan State, you sweep Ohio State, you sweep Penn State, although that game was a game number two. You had to crawl back from a 3-0 deficit, and then you destroy a Wisconsin team that was certainly looking to the postseason. Something clicked. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously, like, lost in the shuffle here in terms of the way the season went. Obviously, Jack LaFontaine left in the middle of the season, and given kind of handing the starting reins to an absolutely unproven goaltender at the college level, and especially playing for a team like Minnesota that's going to be playing in the stakes that they are normally, and playing against competition that they are. And obviously with most of the Big Ten being a pretty formidable conference at this point. And that kind of leads me to my next point too. The Gophers got, they definitely got, I shouldn't say lucky with the way the schedule turned out, but they were fortunate. They were benefactors that Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State all had down years, and they were at the end of the season, end of the schedule, through their season. That is to say, also, if Minnesota would have lost any one of those games against of those six, that really could have cost them for even just making the tournament, period. If they were a 10-11 on the bubble then, I think we were saying at the time that would have been a really, really disappointing way to kind of go out and say you lose a couple close ones to get to a couple of those teams. And they just needed to take advantage. And they kind of took control of their destiny. They got behind Justin Close, and they really closed up their defense. Which I think really makes obviously a lot of sense, as they say, okay, we don't want to let this guy, not that he doesn't have the chops, but we don't know what he has. He's played a period against the U.S. under 18 team in his whole career. So the team doesn't really, I mean, from they can see what they see in practice, but against the other, the opposition, they want to say, okay, not that we're going to let this guy embarrass himself, or we think he's going to embarrass himself, but let's close up so he doesn't look bad in case that's something that happens. You know, let's make our defense one of the best in all of college hockey to make sure that, you know what, this guy looks good, we look good, and they push to the end of the season. And obviously a senior leadership core that needed to that had not necessarily a legacy to define, but they had a few, they don't have any chances left at the can to get to where they obviously didn't at the end of the season, but to get to that national championship. And they really turned it on and said, okay, this is our time to shine. They absolutely took care of business against teams they should have. And obviously I think of the last three losses in the regular season, two were to Michigan, and they went on a game winning streak to finish out the season.
Hey, SodaPod listeners, just want to give a quick word from our friends at DraftKings. They want to remind you that you can feel the action on the ice like never before with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Right now, new customers can bet just $1 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state or province, you can still hit the ice for cold, hard cash. New customers can make their first deposit and play for free for thousands of dollars with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. Draft your lineup of 8 skaters and a goalie and rack up points for goals, assists, saves, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. So download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now or Daily Fantasy and use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 or older, restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
And in that 8-game winning streak, Drew, the goal differential, 37 goals for, only 11 goals against. And all but one of those games, it was 2 goals or less allowed by the Gophers squad, which leads us to the Big Ten tournament, right? So the Gophers by proxy do win the regular season Big Ten championship. Think you're welcome for your participation medal. Let's move on. No, I'm kidding. Which gets you a first round bye. And then you end up drawing Penn State a little bit closer than a lot of Gophers fans wanted it. But let's talk about the game against Michigan. And I bring that up because I was alive in the mid-90s, able to go to the Mariucci and watch hockey. And every time I went to Mariucci, which was not as often as I wanted to, but that was the ticket in town. There was no Wild yet. The North Stars had left. That building was rocking every single night that team was there. And with a good friend of mine, Ben Holden, on the call, and just seeing the atmosphere that was in that building for a Gopher hockey game, regardless of the outcome, which was a tough loss against a very good Wolverine team. My goodness, what a hockey game that was. And what a show for Mariucci. And as you alluded to in the beginning, this was what Gophers fans had been probably kind of penning up in themselves for quite some time now.
Yeah. I mean, there were numerous times this year, I think I looked and I kind of looked around and said, you know what, I think Gopher hockey's back, you know, and just not from the competitive standpoint. They were going to be there at some point, but I think from a fan engagement standpoint and the fan base, not necessarily the old fan base that had long ago kind of said, all right, if we're not playing North Dakota 4 times a year and those teams 4 times a year, those fans are gone and they're not coming back because they're not going to be playing. They're not going to be doing that in the anywhere near future. So, I mean, it's a matter of getting a younger fan base, getting the involved and making the student section really, really impactful again. And obviously that showed when a lot of those, the end of the season, even the regular season, they had to expand the student section by 2 full sections. And that whole end cap was just students. And that's obviously the atmosphere you want for college hockey. And that's kind of the difference maker, the band, the students. And that's kind of that's the difference of college hockey and why it's fun too. But I mean, if you look at that Michigan game, sans some throwing stuff on the ice, but the fans were juiced and ready to go. But you really say that that moment, okay, Gopher Hockey is back. The fan base, it Gopher Hockey matters. That's mm-hmm. That's in such a crowded sports market in the Twin Cities, like that game showed that, okay, this isn't just like an also ran, and people like kind of they think of, oh, the Gophers play last night. Oh, what was the score? And then they forget about it 10 seconds later. This is where, okay, this was an event. People cared about it, and they went, and they absolutely had a great time, except for the loss. But they wanted to have a great time, and I think the Gophers are going to be able to deliver on that in the future. But it really showed that the program has come a long way in the last 5, 6, 7 years from kind of the lowest of low kind of. From fan and from a fan engagement standpoint, they've really come a long way, and doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
I don't think so. And then you lick your chops pretty quickly, right? You go over to Worcester, Massachusetts, as it's so-called properly pronounced. Mm-hmm. You get a big overtime win against the defending champion Massachusetts Minutemen. Then a couple of days later, take down a very good Western Michigan team who had just won their first ever NCAA tournament game just a few days ago themselves. Unfortunately for Western Michigan, you talk about growing pains. This is one of them, but for the Gophers, this was a spot where they hit the proverbial brick wall last year, able to come through, beat the Broncos 3-0. And this is where you get your opportunity for redemption, Drew. And for Gophers fans, for the players that were there last year, this was what you wanted. This is the matchup you probably worked all season for. So what happened?
Yeah, they definitely didn't do what they wanted to do against Mankato. I think they got away a lot from their game, that they made them so dominant against UMass and Western, that just really, it was a little disappointing to say, oh man, this team just was so close and they had it. And obviously I don't think that's not necessarily a slight on Mankato too. Mankato really pushed, and they're such a deep physical team that they worked the Gophers off a lot of, off of pucks, keeping them way on the perimeter. The Gophers didn't have any chance like they were against some of the, I mean, I wouldn't call them like a lack of depth, but just there was less depth on Western and UMass than there is on Mankato. And the Gophers were able to exploit that, considering they have four pretty decent lines this past season. And I think they were able to finally wear down on some of those lines to get some penetration in the middle. But Mankato never let that up. And obviously it showed in the final score that they were headed to the national championship game. But another disappointing end for the Gophers against their kind of, I guess I would say, I can say newfound rival to the South, because I mean, obviously in the last 5, 6 years, Mankato's really become one of the class acts in college hockey, and certainly hadn't been a traditional power for much of the Gophers' existence, for sure. But now, obviously, in the last 5, 10 years, Mankato's they've definitely usurped the Gophers in terms of national prominence in this time frame, and just being ranked number one so long. But the Gophers, I think the players that were on this team, they'll look to have another matchup against the Mavs soon, and I think they'll be. I mean, they might be gripping the sticks a little bit tighter, but who knows? I don't know how that game will go, obviously, with the different roster construction that's going to take place, and when that game takes place, and kind of not knowing the schedule for next season really at all. We do know, actually, yeah, that the Gophers will be playing against the Mavericks at some point. So depending on when that happens and the identity is of the team and kind of figuring it out, if it's early in the season, might be a little bit dicier, but I think as the season, if it's in the kind of in the middle of the season, we'll see if that could be a really, really, really intense matchup.
Yeah. So, Andrew, I think I'll piggyback off your point with the reconstruction, right? Because again, the Gophers go up against what was probably one of the best teams in all of college hockey, in the Frozen Four. So the Gophers do get back to, you could say, the hockey promised land in college hockey. Mavs, again, just, I mean, they suffocated every opponent. And the only time, you know, that unfortunately we saw them break any character was in the national championship game. So sad to see a local, you could say, you know, Minnesota neighboring school get an opportunity to hoist the first ever national championship and fall just short. So that was unfortunate. But for the Gophers, speaking of unfortunate, you know, you look at a roster that, as you mentioned, very talented, young, I think was the other thing too, right, Drew? And then all of a sudden the transfer portal opens up and some other news too. I think you get some good news in Matthew Nye's staying, but some other news that wasn't so great and maybe some that weren't expected too. So let's talk about how this Gopher roster may look, at least for what we know, a little bit different as we head into the 22-23 season.
Yeah, I think obviously the two biggest points, I think, are Chaz Lucius signing with the Winnipeg Jets after just a year and being injured near the end of the season too, and kind of not really finding too much of a place on this roster, and kind of him bailing a little bit early. Obviously, I think I've made the comparison to Casey Mittelstadt. I think obviously Chaz has had less success at the college level so far. I mean, he can't really say so far anymore. He doesn't really have a chance at it,
right.
I think Casey was here. He was ready to make some strides. He had a decent season and then he left. And I think Chaz has done the same thing in terms of not fully taking advantage of this level to get physical, if you get what I mean, just to get NHL ready. There's a reason a player like Ben Myers can suit up in the NHL and he can look ready for that level. And that's why the players that are playing for Mankato, those 23, 24-year-olds that graduate and then they sign, they're able to play in the NHL right away because they've played so long at this level to get either at junior to get physical here to build up the body. And I think that's something that he's going to maybe want back. Who knows, if he would have stayed, maybe he would have had a chance to get that better, or who knows, maybe he finds that stride in the AHL somewhere, because I don't think, unless he really shows something out of training camp, I don't think he's making that team. But obviously that's a high flying kind of scoring guy that the Gophers are going to miss, and miss the chance to develop and turn into somebody that's really, really capable at this level. But also a guy who was on his line occasionally, Tristan Brose, transfers. He enters the transfer portal. He's got 3 years left, and he's a guy who had a lot of success near the end of the season. And I thought he had a really good couple games in the regional and the NCAAs. And I think he was one of the guys that stood out the most to me in terms of just he's not the biggest guy, but he was willing to really be physical and kind of work the game plan, even though it wasn't necessarily the best fit for him. But he made it work. That's the effort of hockey too. He made it work, and he made some guys look really confused and a little lost out there. But and then he goes out and transfers. Now he's at Denver, the reigning national champions. The rich get richer, I guess. And I think he's going to have a great if he can stay there for another 3 years. They're gonna have a really, really good player for three straight years if he wants to stay that long. But obviously a Pittsburgh Penguins draft pick, he'll likely have the chance to leave early if he has another season like he did the last half of this one. Who knows how long he'll stay though? But yeah, I think that's a significant loss. I think those two are kind of the biggest changes, I think, for the Gophers too. But I think Brose is definitely by far the biggest loss. But I mean, you think about it too, with if guys that are coming back, Brock Faber didn't have to come back, likely would have had that. He could have signed the day, I mean, on the plane home from the Nash, the Frozen Four. But he decides to come back. Matthew Nyes decides to come back. So they got a couple wins there where I don't think Nyes was going to leave, but I was almost certain that Faber was going to take that chance and get the paycheck. And obviously he's coming back now. So I think that's definitely a win. And obviously you're going to have a couple, but now with the transfer portal being so widely utilized by just about anybody, it's kind of the name of the game now. Who can you get to stay, and what's the impact of the guys that stay versus the impact of the guys that left?
Yeah, it's tough for sure. Grant Cruikshank transferring out to the Huskies with St. Cloud. He was kind of rumored to kind of be in between both of those teams before last season. Jack Perbix entering the transfer portal, and as my last check, which was just Monday, had not seen a commitment from Jack on a new team as well. So still some moving parts. And again, the Gophers could take advantage of the portal if they wanted to. You're still an open recruiting line.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I think Perbix went to, I think he's going to be at Western next year.
Oh, is that? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I may have missed that. So, but nonetheless, a role player who, as you mentioned before the show, we discussed maybe looking for a more, you know, I guess a bigger time role, maybe a top six role. You know, see what happens, right? He's got a great coach and Pat Furschweiler there at Western, if that's indeed where he ends up. But nonetheless, the Gophers overall a successful season, right, Drew? And in 30 seconds, does that mean the bar now is even higher for the Gophers as we enter the 22-23 season?
I think it's obviously making the tournament is a bare minimum, I think, for this team, as it usually should be. When Gopher hockey is humming, that's the bare minimum, making the tournament. But I think, I just wonder a little bit on was close magic in a bottle? I mean, is that going to be something that is he going to be another really stellar goaltender here for a whole season this time around? Or do they still bring someone in to maybe make a tandem? Or is it Bartoszkiewicz? Is it somebody that's going to be able to take some starts away, or at least be ready if Close falters? And not to say that he is, but I'm just saying that is kind of a question mark with a guy who hadn't played a lot. He's played half a season at a really high level. And you never know, because goalies are weird. So it's I think the defensive core is going to be, I think it's going to be in decent shape with Jackson Lacombe coming back as well, alongside Brock Faber. I think those two, especially second half of the season, those two are the best the Gophers had. Mm-hmm. And I think Ryan Johnson is coming back as well. I don't think he's going to be signing with the Sabres unless I missed that and just threw that out of my mind. But I think he obviously has been, I think he struggled a little bit this year, but I think having some of that experience come back is going to be really important to, it's going to be really important to this team, especially defensively. I think the Gophers are always going to be fine offensively. Having Matthew Nyes come back and obviously the addition of Logan Cooley after he decommitted from Notre Dame and coming here, that's going to be at the Gophers fans will have a real treat if those guys are playing together. And obviously in the power play, you think it would be. But my goodness, that would be at the very least in the power play. But that'll be a fun offensive tandem there. I think it's kind of setting that all up. I think they have a chance to make it to at least the final of a regional, and making the Frozen Four, I don't think is out of bounds. I don't think that's the bare minimum expectation. I don't think that's kind of a given assumed by a lot of people, but I think it's a realistic goal, is making the Frozen Four, and at the very least make a regional, kind of make a regional final, win a game in the postseason. I think, but obviously way too early. It's May of 2022. We still have a lot of time to go to see how this roster plays out, to see how obviously the non-conference schedule against some of those tough teams will go in the regular season.
And that we will keep an eye on the Golden Gophers. Again, Drew Cove, thank you very, very much for joining us as we recap again the Golden Gophers 21-22 season here on MNCAA. Please follow us on social media on Twitter, MN_NCAA. And we hope to see you back again with us next week. Thanks for joining us.